everybody doing? Good morning, Victory Church. God bless you. Hope you're enjoying this wonderful Florida weather. Isn't it fantastic? If you need notes, there is a note in your worship guide if you got one, but if you need an extra one, raise your hand. The ushers will bring you a note. This is part two on a series on relationships adapted from a book by Craig Groeschel of this name and a marriage series by Chris Hodges. And we are in part two on relationships. Speaking of relationships, I heard about this police recruit. He was interviewing for a job over here at GPD, and they were asking him all these questions. If you're in different situations, what would you do? And they asked him, okay, what if you were put in a situation where you had to arrest your mother-in-law? What would you do? He thought for a second, and he said, call for backup. Relationships. And don't forget, behind every great man is a surprised mother-in-law. Relationships. Talking about, you think about the great commandment. They asked Jesus, they said, what's the great commandment? And you remember, we talked about last week, he gave them two commandments, because he wouldn't keep it with one. But if, and you know, the first one he said was love God, and the second is love your neighbor, right? So you think about that, the commandments involve relationships. Isn't that interesting? He could have said, what's the great commandment? Great commandment is this: if you want to be right with God, crawl on your hands and knees to the top of Mount Horeb and make a sacrifice, you know, do penance or do some. He could have just gave us this very difficult assignment that is just up to you. Isn't that interesting? He said it's just up to you. He didn't say it's up to you. He says based on two relationships. The two great commandments that we have been given to be responsible with is a relationship with God and a relationship with people. That's very interesting when you think about the creation and the book of Genesis. You know, the Bible says God created man, and the first thing he saw, he says, not good for the man to be alone. He has to have a relationship. But if we'd be honest, we'd say relationships is where we've had the most difficulties in life. When you counsel people and you talk to them and they've got pains and they've got struggles, 99.9% of the time, that struggle, that pain, that difficulty, what happened to them, that hurt, that wound came from a relationship. So that which God designed to be the ultimate blessing, we were not designed to live alone. We were designed to have relationships. And that which God designed to be the greatest blessing in life turns out in many cases, because it's not handled correctly and we don't know how to have good relationships, ends up being the most challenging area of life. Would you say that's true? Yeah. The things that you struggle with. I would venture to say if we did a study on people that commit suicide, possibly up to 100%, the feeling of this, you know, discontent, depression, or discouragement, whatever caused that suicide, I would say most of the time was based on some failure in a relationship. So this is a big challenge for us as Christians, as humans, as relationship. That's why we're doing a relationship series. This series has five parts. So God never intended us to do life alone. And the tendency is that when we see all these difficulties that we've had in relationships, there's one response to that is, I don't want to have any more relationships. That's going to be my solution. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to be involved with anybody. I want to go live in a cave. I want to go live on the top of a mountain. I want an island. I want to be by myself. But that's not the solution either, because God's created us to have relationships. So the option is not to avoid relationships. That's one maybe possible fix that some people think will fix it. But the answer is to find a biblical solution to how to deal with relationships. That's why the title of the series is From This Day Forward, because we've all experienced the failures, the problems, the discomfort from relationships, and we have to start from this point. We'll look at this verse in Lamentations that says, from this day forward, I've got to get a fresh start. That's what this series is about. Making a fresh start, wiping the slate clean. And I'm so glad that is God's attitude about life, is he never takes us back and just reminds us and keeps us in the past. He always says, from this day forward. Let's see how to move ahead. That's where God lives. God is the God of the eternal now. He always exists in the now. God created time. He exists apart from time. When we deal with him, we always deal in the present, in the now, and that's how he deals with us. He's always got a path for you to go from here today to where he wants to get you tomorrow. So let's look at this in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 23. It'll be up on the overhead. So there's a lament, and then there's a solution to the lament in the book of Lamentations here. There'll be a lament, and it'll be followed by the biblical solution. So here we start with the lament. I remember my affliction. So there's the beginning of the problem. That's the beginning of most of our problems. We remember what we should forget, and we forget what we should remember. You remember the people of Israel after God, after 400 years of slavery, brings them out, takes them out in the wilderness. And they forgot the good things that God did. And they forgot the wrong things. They remembered the wrong things. And that's what happens to us. I remember my affliction. Instead of remembering God's faithfulness, we remember the problems. I remember my affliction, my wandering, the bitterness, and the gall. I will. He's really good at this. He's good at the wrong thing. I will remember them. And here's the result. And my soul is downcast within me. And I think you will find if you experience a period or in your life where you're downcast, it's because you're remembering the wrong stuff. And here's the solution. He goes on to the next verse. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. You can change the whole thing. It's not dependent on somebody else. You can't change the past. You probably can't change a whole lot of circumstances in your life. But one thing for sure and certain you can change is what you think about and what you remember and how you view the future. Amen. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. You can turn it around all by yourself. You and God can fix it. That's some good news. It doesn't really even take the cooperation of somebody else. It's just me and God. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope because of the Lord's great love, which doesn't change. So that is the condition to my happiness, is God's love. And it never changes. It never ends. It's been proven. He proved it. God himself, Jesus, came in the flesh, proved how much he loved you, went to that cross, gave his life for you. It's done. It's settled forever. Don't let anybody ever tell you nobody loved you. God loves you. The one who created you loves you, and he proved it. He paid the price, and that love is available to you any minute of any day. You just have to tap into it. Amen. And so he changed his thinking. He said, I'm going to quit this stinking thinking. Sometimes you need a checkup from the neck up. You need to look at what you're thinking, change your thinking, get rid of the stinking thinking, get the right thinking. This I call to mind, therefore I have hope because of the Lord's great love. We're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. God has never failed you, never will, and his love never fails. It's our stinking thinking. We even act like sometimes we complain to God, oh God, you don't love me. That's a lie. Where'd that come from? That's a lie. For his great love, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So that's why the title of this series is From This Day Forward. You can't change what happened to you. You can't change them old, mean, nasty, sinful people and what they did. But you can change your attitude, and you can change your life. You can change your happiness. It's only dependent upon you and God. From this day forward, you can have a better life. To be successful in relationships, we need to wipe the past, reboot. Most electronic devices, they have a reset button. Sometimes you need a little pen or something to get in there so you don't accidentally hit that little reset button and it wipes everything. You have a reset button. So wiping the past, starting fresh. His mercies are new every morning. So we broached this question last week. We said, are great relationships possible? And the answer is they're possible, but they are not probable. The probability of even a marriage relationship, picking one person out of the whole planet saying that's a person I can have a relationship, the failure rate is 50%. But we looked at some statistics last week on how to change that to 0.08% by doing three simple things. And I'm not going back into that. You'll have to go back and listen to last week's sermon, which is on the website, by the way, because of our faithful team. They videotape. They put it on Facebook. They got social media. We got some great people, man. They get this up. It's available. You missed last week. You can watch it. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Somebody watched. They put that video on Facebook. Now they're putting it on Facebook, which I just hit share, and it posted to all my friends. I've got some people that have, like, befriended me. Everybody know what Facebook is? Some of you don't. And so people I haven't seen in 40 years, you'll get this friend request. Yeah, boo, you can be my friend. Somebody this week, I reposted that one from last week. Somebody I haven't seen in 40 years that I know they're not a Christian. They're far from God. And they put a little thing. That was a great message. They don't go to church, but they listen to that message. Good job, you guys. You guys are doing a great job. So last week, we looked at how to increase your odds 600-fold by just doing three simple things. And if you want to know what they are, you got to go back and watch the message. Here, so we talked about this is a five-part series. So in your notes, the first five fill-in-the-blanks are the titles for the first five. Number one is seek God. That's what we covered last week. And number two is fight fair. That's what we're going to cover today. Number three is have fun. That's next week. Number four, stay pure. And number five, never give up. No matter where you are today, relationally, there's hope. Genesis 2:24 says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, they shall become one flesh. Psalm 133, 1 and 3 says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. So that's making the relationship work. So we're going to talk about that today. The goal of our relationships is unity, not getting our way or even being right, but it's unity. How good and pleasant, this is what God says about relationships, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is as if the dew were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. Where does he bestow his blessing? Relationships that have the right goal, that are working right. There's a blessing. There's a blessing in getting our relationship. Don't give up on relationships because there's a blessing connected with it. Relationships are designed by God to be a blessing. Now, you might look back and say, well, these relationships I had are a curse. And then that's what the devil likes to use and say, give up on relationships. No, don't give up on relationships. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on hope. Let's just make them work right. That's what we want to talk about. It's supposed to be a small taste of heaven. So the goal of this series is not to survive relationships, but to learn how to make our relationships thrive. So why do we have so many problems with relationships? Because each of us has two vices, categories of vices in our life. Let's just be honest with each other. And that it comes from the fall of man, but it's there. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to go look for it. It's there every morning working on the inside of us. You know what it is? Selfishness and pride. You could break it into three categories, as the Bible does in 1 John chapter 2. It says, all the things of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. So these two are just what I want. So you could break it in, make it simple. Selfishness, my selfish desires, and pride. So those are our vices that are set within us, that the challenge of the Christian life is learning, as Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. So he says, I die to selfishness and pride, so that the virtues of God, I'm dying to my vices so that the virtues can come up to the top. And then there are Christian virtues that we want to take the place of those vices. But that's the reason why we have challenges in relationships, because every one of us has those default setting vices, selfishness and pride. And on top of selfishness and pride, I've got issues, you've got issues, all God's children got issues. So not only am I selfish and pride, then through the history of my life, I've got issues based on failures of relationships. On top of all those problems, I've got issues. It's a wonder anybody can get along with anybody. So the question for all of that, the question is not if we will fight, but how we will fight. That's the reason that the title of this message is Fight Fair. Because we have issues, because we have selfishness, because we have pride, because we have vices, there are going to be fights. But we're going to talk about today how to fight fair, fight right, and get the correct solution out of the fight. Now, some of you are good fighters, but you're losing the war. So that's why we're going to learn how to fight fair. You're winning fights, and you're losing the war. So I'm going to give you three wrong turns we make in resolving conflicts. Number, the first one, it's what your check there, fill in the blank. We're fighting the wrong enemy. Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That's people. So if our struggle is not against flesh and blood, it's not who you think it is, because it's not a person, period. Your enemy is not the person. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. There is a very real devil who really hates you. And he's operating in a spiritual realm, and that's your enemy. One of the biggest problems I understand from veterans of the Vietnam War was, it was a real challenge, was we often didn't know who our enemy was. Because it was the same country, the same people, they drew a line, north and south. The North Vietnamese often, they didn't wear uniforms. And we were fighting our friends and befriending our enemies by mistake. It was a big problem in the Vietnam War. We didn't know who to fight. We didn't know who the enemy was. And I'll just translate that over into, that's often what happens in our relationships. We don't know who our enemy is. We think it's the person we're married to. We think it's our neighbor. We think it's our boss. We think it's our employee. We think it's that person. That's not the enemy. That's not the real enemy. This scripture says the real enemy is not seen with eyes. It's seen. It's described here in scripture. It's the forces of darkness. That's where we need to learn how to fight in that realm. So make no mistake about it, in this country, the devil has a plan to destroy the fabric of our culture and the foundation of our morality by destroying families and unity. That's what the devil's about. If he can destroy the first institution that God put on the planet, and he's doing pretty well, isn't he? 50% destruction rate. If he can destroy the family, he can destroy the moral fabric of our country. He can get his way. That's what he's doing. That's why there's all this division against, you can pit different groups against different groups, however you do it. Black, white, Hispanic, what, everybody's hating. Just look at the root of all that. It's the devil. Why is there so much animosity? Any kind of group you can pit against another group, that's the devil. That's just the devil. It's the spirit of darkness. And see who the enemy is. Families. Why are families under attack? It's the devil. Let's not give in to his ways. Let's change this. Jesus said in Mark 3:25, if a house is divided against itself, it cannot stand. That's what the devil's trying to do, is divide our country into little different groups, classes, whatever, however he wants to divide it. If he can do that, he can win. And even in our own homes, a home divided against itself, it can't stand. So we have to take that as we begin to learn how to fight fair, is the goal is unity. The next reason is we're driven by wrong motives. Wrong motives. That's your next fill in the blank. We're driven by wrong motives. James chapter 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Wow. Good question. And followed by the answer. Don't they come from your desires? That's exactly what I said, the default settings, selfishness, pride. Your desires that battle within you. You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you don't ask God, because you don't go to God, because we don't trust God. It's because we're fighting with each other. When you ask, you don't receive, because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend it on your own pleasure. So the enemy is enemy. That's the problem, is that keeping me from getting that relationship with God that I want is my own vices that I have to push down and crucify. So God says the source of relationship conflict is we don't seek God first. That's why part one was seek God. I seek my way, my desires, my kingdom. Come on, don't shout me down just because I'm preaching real good. The next reason is we use the wrong tactics. That's your next fill in the blank. We use the wrong tactics. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 3 and 7 out of the New Living says, don't you realize that we Christians will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disagreements here on earth, right? Just think about that for a second. We can't resolve a conflict between two people that have chosen this one other person out of seven people billion people on the planet, and then he said, it shouldn't be like that. You're going to judge angels. You can't resolve earthly conflicts. You have lawsuits, and that's a real defeat for you. Why not just accept injustice, leave it at that? Why not let yourselves be cheated? What he's saying is we don't settle things in a spiritual or biblical way. We're doing things just like the world. He says, you're just like the world. No, you're not like the world. We need to approach things in a different way. So we have to learn how to fight fair. So here's the next question for you. Is getting your way better than doing things God's way? And that's the question you'll have to answer when you go into an argument. Is getting my way more important than God's way? Because if you're just going to try to get things your way, maybe you'll get it, maybe you won't. Maybe, you know, the fight is just, no, I'm not going to get my way, and you're going to go away unhappy. Maybe you'll win the battle, but you'll get your way, and it's not God's way. Is that going to work? Proverbs 18:19, New Living says, it's harder to make amends with an offended friend than to capture a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with iron bars. We're not just talking about marriage, we're talking about relationships. If you're not married, you still need relationships. If you're married, you have the marriage relationship, but you also have other relationships. We all have all kinds of relationships, and these are principles. So the reality is that all couples fight, but healthy couples fight in a way that preserves God's will. Healthy couples fight for a resolution. Unhealthy couples fight to win. You might want to write that down in your notes. Yes. Healthy couples fight for a godly resolution that preserves unity. Unhealthy couples fight to win. And sometimes you lose and you're unhappy. But even if you win your own way, you don't get the results you thought you were going to get because it's not God's resolution. So we have to quit fighting to win my way and stop and find out God's way. Don't win the fight and lose the war. So how do we fix this? What's the solution? The solution is from this day forward, we will do things differently. So I'm going to give you three rules for a fair fight. But first, let's look at this. James chapter 1, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be, so I'm going to give you three things, and they're found in this passage right here. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So we're going to break those down. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Have you noticed that? Even if you won the fight, but it wasn't God's path, you're still fighting, and you're still having problems, and you're still miserable. So we'll break those three things down. Three rules for a fair fight that's in your notes. Number one, okay, he says, be quick to listen. Stop and listen carefully. Stop and listen carefully. You can prevent most bad fights at the beginning. Stop. That's hard to do. I mean, we do this in the growth track. We break down personalities, and they talk about the disc and different types of personalities. Some people, their personality is very, you know, animated, active, your first response, and God uses that for good. But if you're that type of person, this is going to be tough for you. Stop, because your first reaction is boom, jump into action. But I'm encouraging you, according to this scripture, to train yourself, stop and listen before you start. Stop and listen carefully. Proverbs 18:2 says, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. So we don't want to fall into the category of the fool that I start giving my opinion before I've actually really heard the problem. Have you ever had that in a fight? You start giving the answer and they go, that's not what I'm talking about. Big indication, I haven't listened. I've jumped into the fray before I fully understand what the fray is all about. So rule number one. Stop and listen carefully. Number two, guard my words vigilantly. Slow to speak. Again, this is hard for certain types of people. And if this is for most all of us, because we're selfish and proud and we think our opinion is better than somebody else's, so no matter what kind of personality we have, we think we're right. And so we have to guard our words vigilantly. You remember that old saying when we were kids? Sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Not true. lie, lie, lie. Most of your issues come from words that people have spoken. Words can hurt you. Jesus said this, Matthew 5:11, you're not defiled by what you eat, you're defiled by what you say and do. Words can mess you up. Words can mess others up. Words can cost you deeply. He goes on to say that you'll be judged for every careless word that you speak. Woo! Judge for that. Look at this. Proverbs 21:23 says, if you keep your mouth shut, you'll stay out of trouble. I didn't write that. I promise. I did not write that. That's in the Bible. You can look it up. That's cool. If you keep your mouth shut, you'll stay out of trouble. Better to think a dumb thought than to say it. I mean, it's not good to think dumb thoughts, but it's worse when you say it. Because you know what I've found out in life? That words are more like bullets than they are fishing lures. Because a fishing lure, you cast it out there, and if you don't like where it's at, I'll bring it back. There it is. I'll throw it again over here. You can bring them back, but words are more like bullets. Once you pull that trigger, there ain't no getting it back. It's gone. It's going to hit exactly what it was aimed at. It's going to do the damage that was intended to do by the direction and by the force behind it. And you can't get it back. You can't ever get it back. And words are like that. You say it, you can apologize, but you can't get them back. Better to then not launch it. Make sure, and so we'll look at how to do that. So there's three tests. That's not in your notes, but I give you some space at the end of your notes to write stuff down if stuff is speaking to you. I want to give you three test questions for words before you let them out, because remember, you can't get them back. One, should what I am about to say even be said? That's the first test. Does it even need to be said? Number two, should it be said now? Is this the time and the place? Or would it be better, this is the wrong company, this is the wrong time, this is, you know, let's wait for another. Should it be said now? And number three, could I say it with a better attitude? So those are three test questions for words. And then I want to give you some rules of engagement. Establish rules of engagements for your fights. We're talking about fighting fair and how to have successful outcomes from your fight, to have healthy fights that end up bringing you closer to God rather than further apart. So here's, I'm going to give you six rules of engagement for a fight. Number one, never call names. It going downhill from there. When you start calling names, it's not going to get better. Then the fight becomes about the name rather than the issue that's at hand, and we're not going to resolve the issue. How many times do we start and we end up being further apart and we never even address the issue because something like this throws it into disarray? Don't use names. Number two, never say you always or you never, because that's never true. It's not absolute. So just leave that. Then you start fighting about never. Well, don't you remember? No, then you lose. You're off on another direction, right? Let's stay with what we're trying to resolve so that we can get closer to the will of God. So number two, never say you always or you never. Number three, never raise your voice. Now, some of you just gave up right there. It's like, oh, man, I don't know about that. But let me tell you, then again, the fight becomes about something other than what we need to be fighting about. It becomes about the attitude, and now I'm going to fight you rather than fight the issue. Yeah. Just make a decision. Just don't raise your voice. You can keep fighting. All right, I'm not taking away all your fight. Okay, you keep fighting, but keep your voice down. Don't get it into something else. Never raise your voice. Number four, never get historical. Well, I remember on our honeymoon, and your mother, no, just don't get historical, live in the now, let's deal with the current situation is problem enough rather than bringing up 10, 20, 30 years of problems. Come on now. Never get historical. Number five, never threaten divorce. Never. Make that up before you get married. Say, that's it, forever, that's it, we're not even going to go there. Don't make that an option, because when that's an option, you quit fighting about resolution to the problem and you go off in another direction. Never threaten divorce. And number six, don't use the Bible as a weapon. Don't use the Bible. Don't hit somebody over the head with the Bible. Just leave that. use biblical principles to come to resolution. Don't use the Bible as a weapon. So then the third key that you got in your notes is this. I have to manage my anger righteously. Manage my anger righteously. So that was the third part of that verse. So Ephesians 4, 26, 27 says, in your anger, do not sin. So what it's saying, it's possible to get angry and not sin. In your anger, don't sin. So I'm going to get angry, but it's saying there's a limit to where I can go with that anger that keeps me from getting into an area of sin. And I have to know where that is and I have to stop. In your anger, don't sin. The tendency is you get angry and then it snowballs and I go back into my default vices, selfishness and pride, and add that to it. And then I'm going to end up, the anger be a launching pad or a springboard into sin. So I said, let me give you a warning. Anger is going to be a tendency to bounce into an area of sin. So think about it. As soon as you get angry, in your anger, do not sin. I'll go on with the verse. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't let the sun go down. Now, I say this often that, you know, when we had premarital counseling, they said, don't go to bed angry, so we just stay up all night and fight. Maybe two or three nights, you know. But that's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say don't go to bed angry because you can control that. This is interesting. It said don't let the sun go down. That's something beyond your control. What he's saying is there's a celestial clock ticking for you that's beyond your control. Don't let the sun go down. So if I lose my anger at 7 and the sunset is 7:30, I only got 35 minutes to resolve this thing. If it happens in the morning, I got all day. But there's a sure and certain end. It's coming down, and it's not up to me. It's not stay up all night. It's not when you go, don't go to bed angry. It's don't let the sun go down. It's saying God is watching. He has ordained the parameters of our life, and he's not going to be pleased with me letting anger fester. And just living with it today, tomorrow, and the next day, and the next. That's where you get in trouble. Some of you got anger and been there for years. But he said, don't let the sun go down. He's saying, you take care of what you got inside of you that you put in there before the sun goes down. You deal with you. He didn't say straighten out that other person. He said, you don't let your anger stay when the sun went down. Fix it. Get rid of it. Come to God. Come to the love of God. Accept his love and say, yeah, but for the grace of God, there go I. Who am I to judge another person when I've been forgiven so much? Remember those passages? And then I'm trying to hold, get rid of it. Deal with it. You deal with it. That's what I'm saying. This is very liberating to know the happiness and the freedom and the victory is between you and God. You don't let your anger be there when that sun goes down. And what happens if you do? You give the devil a foothold. Do not give the devil, there's the devil, folks. He's very real, and he hates you very much. He is against anything that is for God, and you do not want to give him a foothold because he creates enough trouble without even giving him a foothold. But once you give him a foothold, you open the door. It's enough to have him into your yard and pestering you and out there, yeah, but at least you got your house. But when you open the door, now he's in your house. Now you ain't got no place to go. Now you really got problems when the devil's in the house. And how did that happen? You give the devil a foothold. How did that happen? You let the sun go down on your anger. And he said, don't do that. It's up to you. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So make this decision, your last fill in the blank. In a time of conflict, I will fight for unity, not for personal victory. Just make that decision. Look, okay, we're having a conflict, and we're going to be stronger when we come through this thing, because I'm fighting for unity. I'm fighting to find the will of God. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. God has a perfect will. And you know what? I'm willing to be wrong. I'm willing to change. Because I want the will of God. I want the will of God in my life. Isn't that all of our desire in here? That even if I have to change, even if I don't get my way, I want the will of God. Because that's where we're going to be happy. That's where contentment is. That's where the blessing is. God wants you to be happy. and it's in His will. His will is a good place. It's a happy place. It's a good place for your mind. It's a good place for your body. It's a good place for your relationships. The will of God. Fight for unity. Fight for the will of God. That's why the Bible says, referring to marriage, but this could apply to any relationship, a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. Wait a minute, there's only two people getting married here. The third strand is God. You got a man, you got a woman, and you got God. And our goal, each person, we're looking for the will of God. Not my own will. When you're just this way, it's just horizontal, you just get further and further apart. When it's this way, you come closer and closer and closer together. Let's just make some decisions this morning. Whether you're married or single, we all have relationships to deal with. Maybe you're still dealing with relationships from 20, 30 years ago. Parents, child, brothers, sisters, divorce, stuff, boyfriend, girlfriend, coaches, teachers, people. So much to deal with. And from this day forward, we got to get a clean slate. We got to wipe the slate clean. Maybe your relationships just need a little tweaking, or maybe they just need a whole do-over. Maybe you think it's hopeless. Maybe you came in today thinking it's hopeless. I hope I've changed your mind, because I want you to know, with God, nothing is hopeless. There's hope for everybody. There's hope for every situation. And just say, from this day forward, you know, I'm going to do things God's way. Let's just pray. I believe that from this day forward, things can be different. I believe every one of us can get better, can grow. We can learn to put pride and selfishness down. We can change our tactics. We can change the way we fight. And we can learn to fight fair. And we can fight for resolutions. And we can end up at the end of the fight, be closer to God and be closer to each other. That is possible. All of us, every one of us in this room, could be better at relationships. Nobody has arrived. I have certainly not arrived. You haven't arrived. I think that's the key to life, is just keep saying, I want to get better. Lord, just show me how to get better. Show me how to do better. Show me how to fight fair. Show me how to have better relationships. And right now, I want you to get free from the past. Close the door to the past, those hurts, those pains. Just, you got to do it between you and God. Just close the door. It's done. Just say it's done. It's over. It's finished. I'm not going there. I'm not going back to the bitterness and the gall. I don't want it anymore. From this day forward, God will have His will and His way in my life. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for you. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today, say, I don't know, Pastor. Think so, hope so, not sure. Does anybody really know for sure? Yeah, the Bible says, I've written these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that. Here's what he said. He said, you got to be born again. That means there comes a time in your life when you're born of God as an act of your own free will. You surrender your life to God. You ask Him to forgive your sins. He does that. He forgives your sins. And then He comes and He lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. And in just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and we're going to take care of that. But you might be here today and you say, you know what, Pastor? I did that in the past, but today I'm really not where I want to be with God, and I want to get a fresh start. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If today is a fresh start for you, just slip up your hand real quick. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hands down. I want to lead you in a prayer. Everybody, pray this prayer with them. Dear Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised You from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever You lead me, I'll follow. From this day and forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank You, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer, meant business with God. That's awesome, awesome, awesome.